I'm big on setting foundations. I'm big on making sure that you have understanding. I believe that one of the things we haven't dealt with when we talk about healing is how much of what we have been taught about healing has brought us into places of condemnation concerning our process. So before we get deeply into how we're healing and how God is walking this out in us, because we have more trauma today than we have had probably in one concentrated effort in a very, very long time, especially in the United States. We know that globally, other countries are constantly in a place of trauma. So those of you that are visiting or sharing with us in this time together from other countries, I want you to know that we're aware that you have wars, that you know, we're still praying for the girls that were kidnapped in Africa a few years back. People have not forgotten that. I know I haven't. We're still looking at the challenges that other nations are having that are at war. So I don't want to dare make this just about what's happening in the United States. But when we combine all of that with our personal crisis, with what is happening with COVID, when we combine that with the number of people, I know people at this point in my life that have lost loved ones. Some people, multiple loved ones to COVID. I have people that I know that are losing loved ones to loneliness, you know, by way of suicide, by way of people giving up and just dying. And, you know, so I want you to know that when we talk about trauma, trauma has a large wheel. It's not just our childhood stuff, but things that we're experiencing right now. Marriages are being ripped apart like they never have been before. People are not able to keep, you know, tabs on their family members in the way that they have before. So we're being stretched on every side in this hour, even to the point where, you know, most of us, I know myself, I have virtual communities, but I keep in touch with people that literally reach out to me, and I try to reach out to other people, but even that is limited because we have things going on. Now, I'm going to share a few things with you that you may not know about me. I've had a lot of challenges over the last months, but those of you who watch and who come, you would never know that those things are happening. I'm blessed that my husband overcame COVID. He was sick, and I only told a few people that I knew would pray and people that I knew had a heart for me and my family. I'm not going to give you more details, but it's a miracle that my son and myself were not affected. I was sleeping next to him every night, and I did not catch the virus. My son did not catch the virus. And so we've overcome a lot in this year. My daughter, my youngest baby girl, is battling COVID right now. And so I can't get to her. So when I tell you I understand what trauma is like, I'm telling you that I do. I have, you know, I can't get to her. And there's nothing worse as a mom than not being able to take care of your child, even when they are adults. So we all have crisis. We all have conflict, and we all have challenges. If you don't know right now, I am at home every day caring for a son with special needs. There are a lot of things that he needs that are normal for you every day, but they're not normal for him. And he's doing well. He's doing well. So there are challenges on that side. And so we always have things that are going on in people's lives that we're not aware of. But every day I have to count on the wholeness factor. And I'm going to talk to you about the wholeness factor today, but I also want to talk to you about overcoming different trials and different tribulations that we battle, but we battle because we've had some really outdated teaching. We've had people that have taught us things and really pulled us into places of condemnation. And so our efforts to be healed are still rooted in those things that, how can I say it? they're still rooted in those things in our lives that we think is God moving us, but is really religion, legalism, tradition, you know, things like that. So, you know, listen, my life has been a storm and a whirlwind. There is hardly ever a peace for me. Some of you know that that's the case in your lives as well. There is always something going on, but you have to know who to call, who to reach out to. And listen, you have to know who's in your corner, and you have to know who's not going to gossip. And you know, so you have to make some tough decisions, even in the midst of your healing process and healing from trauma, physical trauma, anything. So just bear with me today as we walk through. And if you have questions, I want to just encourage you to ask questions. It is time for us to move forward. I had to skip through because we have a lot of content, but as we get to the end, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask some of those with me to join in the prayer and prophesy. So LA, Prophet LA, if you don't mind, just put Bernard on, Apostle Bernard on co-host in case he wants to weigh in.
Okay.
In case he wants to weigh in, and I'll add other people as we need to, but we're going to be talking about the wholeness factor, and I'm not giving you something as a hook, as a jingle to make the word sound great, but I really believe there is a factor that must be factored in to every place of trauma. So as we talk today, we're going to go through that. So let's just begin. Let's just begin. I just want to encourage you to throw up your Bibles. I'm all about the paper Bibles. We're going to be revisiting Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Listen, I don't know why I am just, for the last, I guess, 6-7 months, I just cannot get out of that book. And I'm just going to encourage you, please, I literally have been begging you to read those chapters. 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew. I think we need to be reacquainted with the things that the Lord spoke in that Sermon on the Mount. So you're going to see us go back to that over the next 3 weeks after this one. I'm going to have some people doing some creative things over the course of the next 3 weeks. So just jump in and be a part of that with us. Make sure you're muted. But I want to just open up with this passage of scripture. Now, Jeremiah 17 as a whole is, there's a lot of rebuke and things like that in that chapter. It's a prophecy, but there was one part of this prophecy that I love, and I want to point it out to you because I believe it's a part of the wholeness factor. It says Jeremiah 17, 13 through 15, and it says this. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." Now, there are a couple of reasons why I want to share this. First, it says, "Heal me, O Lord," because when we're in the middle of our crisis situations, I'm going to go back. When we're in the middle of our crisis situations, We're on our face like, "God, heal me. God, help my family. God, heal my husband. Help my daughter, God, and I know they shall be healed. Save them, and I know they shall be saved, for you are my praise." So all of us stand before God in that way because we need rescue in that moment. We need assurance in that moment. And I would say that a lot of us pray this way because we need that assurance and we cry out. We need that interruption in the midst of the physical pain that is so debilitating. We don't even know if we're going to be able to take the next breath. But this part stands out. "Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." Now, this is Jeremiah lived in the old covenant before the outpouring of the Spirit on all people. And when he declared, "Where is the word of the Lord?" when he was saying or prophesying that people are saying, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." I want you to know that we already have that word. That word has come to us. That word is living in us. That word is Jesus. That word is Jesus. Save me and I shall be saved. I want you to know he's done that for you. This is not just saying, oh, I'm saved. This is saying you have made the choice to walk with him. You have decided that it's God or nothing. You have determined in your life that this is the way that I should go. You understand that God is my praise. Now, crisis doesn't mean we're not going to stumble. It doesn't mean we're not going to feel some kind of way about the situation that we're in. It doesn't mean we're not going to question, why, God, is my husband getting sick? Why was the whole police department infected and they brought that home to my house? You know, I'm like, what is going on? So we're always in that place. We're always in that place of wondering, what in the world is going on? And God, heal me. I need you now. So we're going to go into this a little further, but I just want you to hear this part. Let it come now, because let it come now is an eternal phrase we can carry in us. Let the word of the Lord come, because your wholeness factor is going to be based on you knowing what the Lord has spoken into your situation. No matter how dire or no matter how desperate that situation is. 1 Peter 2:23-25. I love this. It says, when he suffered, he did not threaten. Oh my goodness. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, I'm going to share something about this scripture that may, I don't know, you just might feel some weird way about it, but I'm going to share this. Because I want you to just look at 1 Peter 2:23-25. If you have your paper Bibles, pull them out and go there. Pull them out and go there. Pull them out and go there. I'm going to give you a few minutes for that. I want you to use that good old finger. And I want you to follow me with this. 1 Peter 2:23-25. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So when Christ suffered, he didn't pitch a fit. He just committed himself to God who judges righteously. In other words, he understood that the Lord is looking at, he knows that he is suffering, and he knows that the Lord sees his suffering, and he's trusting God that God has his best interest at heart. But this is Jesus, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. This scripture is used by most of us to declare healing over our physical state. It's used by us to declare healing over our mind. It's used by us to declare healing over our financial situations that need healing, our circumstances that we face. But listen, the more I study this passage and the more I looked at it over the last 2 or 3 days, the more I realize that the promise here is for spiritual healing. I want to see if anybody catches that. I'm just going to wait. What did Christ heal? He healed our need to be reconciled back to God. He needed to heal our minds, our thinking, our process. We use this scripture most of the time to get people off the deathbed. We use this scripture most of the time to get people out of the trauma of their mind. We use this passage to talk about the suffering that we feel when we have broken something or our emotions are broken. Or listen, I'm not saying to you that those things are not relevant, but I think we make an assumption when we, because in the body of Christ, we expect God to heal us instantly when we pray. Are you following me? I need to know that you're following me, because this can be a little weird if you're not able to follow me. Because we live in this life, well, I've prayed, God, why aren't you healing me? I've prayed, God, why aren't the circumstances in my life changing? Your word says, by your stripes, I'm healed. God, why is my marriage all torn up? Why are my children not speaking to me? God, but I'm a righteous woman. I'm a righteous man. Why, God, am I suffering so much? What if I told you the only thing that God promised was that I'm gonna take care of you and bring you into the kingdom, and I'm gonna heal what's been broken in your relationship with me? Christ died for the restoration of the kingdom. So we are healed unto him. Oh my God. I'm going to stay here for a minute, because I want to tell you that we have been taught that we are hanging on for a physical release. But what if this body, Teresa, is not healed? Has God's word failed? Has God's promise been in vain? Christ died for our sins. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. So our healing is first righteous. Our healing is that we might be righteous. Oh God. Our healing is that our soul is aligned with loving God, to the point that we are image and likeness. And get this, everything else is a benefit. Oh my God. By whose stripes my soul is reconciled back to God. By whose stripes I am becoming image and likeness. By his stripes, I am one with him again in spirit and in truth. God never promised that this physical body would not receive death. Oh, God never promised everybody that they would be healed the same. I hope this is helping you, because the wholeness factor is rooted here. The wholeness factor says this: in order to be whole, I have to understand that Christ died to my sins so that my soul may be as one with him. He died for my righteousness. Oh, God. Oh, God, I pray that your people are not confused. I pray that we can walk into new places of understanding, God, I pray that we know I'm not saying throw away things that you believed about this passage. I'm saying elevate your understanding. I'm calling them to ascend into a higher place so that we can tap into the deep recesses of our healing, God, from the trauma we face. Because your guarantee, the only guarantee you made to us, was that you were gonna reconcile all men to you. You are a spirit, God, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. When this body goes away, God, my spirit, my soul will worship with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Father, speak to us that we might be healed. That we might be healed. Oh my God, the wholeness factor. We got to understand that we were made whole. This is why the scripture tells us you are already clean. We've tore that scripture up. You're going to see that scripture again next week. You have been made clean by the word. Okay, we're moving on. Don't be afraid to ask if you don't understand. Because without understanding, there can be no revelation. And without revelation, no seals can be broken. In other words, no lies can be broken and torn down that bring us in eternal truth. Because we need some eternal truth. We need eternal truth. We need eternal. We need the... Every time a seal is broken, we elevate into a permanent new place of thinking, a new place of existing, a new place of being. You don't just hear a word and you go back the next day to the same problem. We struggle today because we have believed things that are rooted in straight up religious thought and legalism. Thank you for posting that scripture. It's John 15:3. Mark that. It says, let me put this where I can see it. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, a minute ago, I asked you, I'm gonna go back to this scripture real quick. I asked you, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Let it come now. We all need the word of the Lord when we're in the midst of trauma. Let it come now. And the truth is this, the healing that Christ promised us was finished the minute you said, I do. And that was his promise to reconcile us to God. Everything else, the healing from sickness and disease, the healing of our mind, that's a part of the process that causes us to be made whole. So we have to believe in the wholeness factor as we move forward. I'm going to explain the wholeness factor as I see it. You might call it something else. But that's what the Lord gave me, because we have to factor in the truth of the spirit. And I believe that I can be made whole. Some of you don't know my story, but God healed me from mental illness, a diagnosis. I've been hospitalized in mental hospitals more than once. I've depended on medication to get me through the day. I've had to go through extreme traumatic situation. I was probably, I'm almost 50, but I would say up until I was probably about four, let's see. I don't know. About, let's see, 39. up until I was about 38, 39, I was still dependent on medications. I was still dependent on endless counselors. I was still dependent on healings and things like that, which I needed. And you need those things too, if that's where you are. This is not a message about stopping what you're doing because of this blind faith. I had the faith of a mustard seed in the midst of that, and it was enough to cause me to walk through. But there are some lies, some lies that we have been told. There are some lies that we have to face, and we're going to get to those in just a minute, and we're going to end with those lies and then go into prayer with some truth. The wholeness factor is you accepting Christ's guarantee that you are healed. You've got to factor in what he said, no matter what your situation looks like. It's that simple. It's not some deep revelation. The deepest part is understanding that we have put a lot of expectation on God, thinking that we're guaranteed physical healing in this earth. We're guaranteed total this and total that, even though we have Paul who told us, but your grace is sufficient, even with the persecution that he was facing. We saw all the apostles, most of them anyway, in the scripture be martyred. But yet we expect no harm or no danger to come to us. We have to be realistic. We have to deal with facts. We look at Christ, his entire walk to the cross. And we think God could have saved him, but that was a part of God's plan. But when we look at our own self, we get angry when things don't work out the way they're supposed to, or when we're struggling with an issue for years and years and years. We have to be in that place of accepting the wholeness factor, which causes us to say, God, but your grace is sufficient. Even in this situation, because the wholeness factor declares without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is not a liar, that God is not a liar, even though my circumstances don't change. Are you all following me? Let me get some feedback before I move forward. We must add to the equation Christ's truth into the traumatic equation we face. We must add to the equation Christ's truth into the traumatic equation we face. Oh my goodness. The wholeness factor must always be before us in the midst of all the tears, in the midst of us trying to ascend. And then God never asked you to be a robot. He never asked you to not cry. He never asked you to pitch a fit. He never asked you not to get angry. He never asked you not to shout and scream and have a tantrum. What he said was, don't let that be your resting place. What he said was, learn self-control. What he said was, grow into the wholeness factor. Oh my God, we are so hard on ourselves because of where we are. And I'm like, God, when my son was diagnosed with his disability, everybody I know wanted to find out what the generational cause of it was. Everybody I know wanted to cast out a mute devil, a this and a that. But look, they're doing that day after day. I'm in agreement with them. I'm allowing it to happen. I'm doing all of this, and my son is not changing. So it went from maybe my son is possessed to maybe something's wrong with you. Maybe you don't have the faith that a mother needs for your son to change. So here I am in a church, and the church is giving me the gospel of condemnation. The church has given me the gospel of law and sin and death. The church is declaring to me that because of this, this is why your son is in this situation. This is why your pregnancy did not go to full term. This is why. Oh, God. This is why you're out of your mind, Teresa. You don't trust God enough. You don't study the word enough. The wholeness factor doesn't say that. The wholeness factor says, I'm going to accept Christ's guarantee that I am healed. The wholeness factor says that he's already healed my spirit. And that I'm one with God. And so what that means is I cling on to a four-letter word, hope, that I need to always be in a place of hope. And people wonder, I didn't leave the church because I was mad. I left the institution that taught that type of doctrine because I needed to find the wholeness factor. I needed to trust the things that God was giving me. We expect things from God on a straight line, but there's not always a straight line. There's not always if I did it for you, I'm going to do it for everybody. No, Paul's thorn never left him. Stephen still ended up with rocks beating his body to death. Peter was still impaled by a stake. Jesus was still strung from a tree. But that doesn't mean he was not whole. I'm going there. We're getting there in a minute.
So religion will have people thinking, so what do you mean? I don't need to pray anymore? No.
Prayer is everything. Prayer is everything. You pray for the healing of your body. You pray for the reconciliation of your mind. You follow the instructions God gives you. You'll do everything you can, but see, this is the wholeness factor. You don't do it because you're expecting a magic trick. You do it because you're trusting the God of his word, whether he does it or not. You do it because the Lord guaranteed that you would be reconciled, and whether the fire saves you, or whether you burn in the fire like the Hebrew boys, or whether he rescues you, you still understand that the wholeness factor declares that I am already healed, because being already healed has nothing to do with just physical and mental healing. It has everything to do with being reconciled into the kingdom despite the situation that you are in. Yeah, religious minds will really struggle with this. If you find yourself in confusion right now, know that this message is not confusing. Know that you're battling old thought processes and mindsets. You're dealing with the stuff you were taught, and people thought they were right. They didn't mean any harm. But I don't want you sitting around trying to do tricks to be healed. Oh, God. Ask anything in my name and it shall be given to you. Is that enough? Or do I need to spin, jump, run down the street, drink some holy water, wear a scarf somebody prayed over? Or is that enough? Oh my God. It had to be enough for me. God has worked miracles in my son's life.
miracle. He talks. His sentences are 3 to 5 words, but he's coming from a child that didn't speak at all. But I've been told I don't have enough faith to believe that he can do more. I even had to tell somebody one day, you will not torture my son with deliverance, ministry, and ministry concepts. For some people, it becomes a torture. One night, the Lord said this to me. He said, go open your Bible. I opened my Bible, and my Bible fell to this story of a young boy who was born blind. And the parents came, and they had an encounter with Jesus, and they said, what has caused this? And Jesus, he said, out of his own mouth, he said, it's nothing that you have done, Teresa. It's not the sin in your life. We're going to talk about this more. The Lord said some things that happen to you are not God's plan, but they happen because we live in a fallen world. The creation has not been redeemed. Romans 8 talks about this. So our genetics are not perfect anymore. You know, people like, I'm not going to go there right now, but I want you to go and listen to my teaching on generational curses. It's inside the Scribal Prophets group. It's line upon line. I'm not talking about that today, but I strongly encourage you to listen to that. Some of you will never speak to me again, but the word does not lie. The word does not lie. So we have this, and we have this wholeness factor, and the wholeness factor is Christ. We have to trust that Christ is telling the truth. We're getting to the lies. I'm just building a foundation. I have to build the foundation so there is understanding. Listen, religion, legalism makes us crazy. Oh, God wants to heal us. God has healed us. He wants to take us deeper and further. I understand that the trauma can be so great, we can't think straight. The disability can be so great, we can't think straight. Oh, Apostle, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong with your granddaughter. Something's wrong with your son. Listen, I had 3 siblings. I only have 2 now. My brother passed away. And all of their children are fine. Nobody had any problem. And that used to bother me. It used to bother me to the point where it would grieve my soul. And only the last few years has God really dealt with me about that, because I felt some kind of way. And I'm not going to lie, I felt some kind of way about it. It's like all the stuff that happens to me and my family. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I probably run harder for God than most people in my family. But listen, I give God glory and I give God thanks every day for my son and for my granddaughter. They are blessings. And I want to share this. I've learned more from them than I ever would from a book on how to love and how to accept people exactly where they are. Could I have learned that lesson any other way? This is probably the most personal stuff I have ever shared in my life in any kind of teaching publicly. But I think it's necessary for this teaching, because sometimes we think folks don't go through nothing. I live with things every day that if you all knew what my day was like, and some of you who are caregivers understand perfectly what I'm talking about. You understand already. Sometimes the trauma that is so great, we cannot even think straight. So we build foundations now, right now, right now, right now. In our lucid moments, we build in truth. In our lucid moments, we build in truth. I want to give you a secret to overcoming trauma. In that moment where you feel God established truth, because there might be a moment when you can't think straight, when you can't process, when you can't, and you're going to be like, God, I just, stop me from jumping off this bridge. God, I need help. Oh my God. But listen, in the congregation, to be that kind of real is a weakness. We've been taught that that is weakness. We've been taught that that is a sign of instability. This is what I've learned. And I'll share that. I'm not going to share that now. We're going to come back to this truth. We still have to factor in the wholeness part. Because God's desire is for our spirit and our soul to be one. We're reconciled when we say yes, but get this, we're empowered to be whole. And whether it all happens at once or whether it takes a lifetime, we don't get to decide God's timetable. And we don't need to spend most of our lives mad because it's not happening quick. Shalom says, my grace is sufficient. That's what Shalom says. It doesn't mean you're giving up. It means the wholeness factor says God knows. It says that I'm going to stay on the wall and I'm going to believe. I'm going to loose and bind. I'm going to do what God has said, and I'm going to trust. I'm going to grow in faith. I'm going to increase. And listen, all my life I battled mental health. I'm talking, not just depression, a mental diagnosis beyond that. All my life, since I was a kid. Oh my God, over 40 years. I remember the day that I woke up and I realized I haven't had a drop of medication in a year. Nobody was reminding me to take my medicine because it could show outwardly that I was healed. I'm not telling you to stop taking your meds. That's not that conversation. Okay, so here we go. I don't want to bring confusion today. That is not what the goal is. The goal is to stretch your capacity, and we are about to jump into the core of the lesson today. The facts or reality is pain, unforgiveness, disappointment, anger, it lingers even when we want to let it go. There's residue. There are things we honest to goodness struggle with. If somebody has betrayed you, whether it's a figment of your imagination or a real act, because a lot of people's hurt is perceived, is not reality, but because it's real to them, they still have to be healed. So we can't pretend that doesn't exist. You all may not see me upset. That's because I choose very carefully who comforts me. Sometimes you can't let people around you, everybody, see your vulnerability because they see it as weakness. Ministers suffer a lot in that area. And listen, you can minister to people and they want you to be understanding for them, but you ask them to be minister to you. And what are they going to say? God is good. I'm praying for you. There is no war. There is no intercession. And if you're a leader that has too much crisis, they're going to leave you because in their mind, you have no power. I'm just telling you what it is. Jesus was by himself, except for the three that walked alongside him when he went to the cross. Everybody was scared, most for the most part, to say his name. Oh my God, we experience traumas that psychologically impact us, whether self-inflicted or done against us. These bodies age. We experience sickness and we experience injury. Every year we celebrate our birthdays, and as we get closer to the end of our days, the cares of life can be extreme and unrelenting, and we can get tired and worn out. We are affected by depression and grief. And sometimes prayer alone is not enough. That's true. That's fact. That's reality. We may have to overcome some horrendous consequences and afflictions resulting from decisions we've made. My point here is, these are facts of life, and we need to be able to acknowledge that these life circumstances exist. If we really want to be healed, we can't pretend they don't exist. Does that make sense? I'm not telling you to accept them. I'm not telling you that truth does not have a place. I'm telling you, if your arm cut off, that's not a figment of your imagination. If you fell out the car and twisted your knee, that's not a figment of your imagination. That's a limitation of your flesh. It's a fact, and it is a reality. If you eat something bad and it makes you sick, that is a fact. That is reality. You can pray, but your body also operates with systems that allows you to throw it up, to purge it out, so you can feel better. But listen to this. Truth is the wholeness factor. God says you are healed. Oh my goodness. I don't know if this is helping anyone, but it's helping me. And it's helping me because I'm finally able to say and to share a lot of the things that trouble me in the faith. And because people are so spiritual, they don't even want to acknowledge their pain, acknowledge their unforgiveness. So we mean, we bitter, we don't want to have compassion for others. You know, we just go pray. Oh my God. But Teresa Harvard Johnson still has to deal with real life. If I spend a day out with my son, people will say things to me, Teresa, just bring your son along. Well, if I bring him along, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom with them and help him. I'm going to have to, it's a lot of work. I'm not saying I don't want to bring him. But what I'm saying to you is that in this situation, there is a reality that I must face every single day. You know, I look at my son, I love him so much. Y'all, he's taller than me now. He's 2 inches taller than I am. I am looking up to him. Very loving young man. But the facts and the reality is, I don't want to have to explain to you why I can't come somewhere. I don't want to have to explain to everybody every time something happens and I can't be a part. I had to make a decision. Look, I can't make it. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. But there is always trauma. The cares of life is what the Bible calls them. Even the scripture acknowledges the cares of life and the struggles that are associated with every day. So we, when it comes to trauma and healing, we have to walk in a place where there is facts and reality. But there is also the truth of the wholeness factor. Oh God. The wholeness factor. The wholeness factor is your spiritual elevation. It's your maturity in the word. It's understanding that you are already healed, even though this fallen world creation causes this flesh to be bound to it and it dies every single day. Oh God, the trauma of life, just living and breathing is hard for some people. Yes, they coexist. Oh my God, Psalm 34, 17 through 19. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord heals and delivers them out of all their troubles. Listen, guess what he does? He gives us revelation. And we're able to, listen, I'm gonna say it this way. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you could not find an out? You're crying, people praying and the prayer's not helping. You're getting counsel for your leaders and you're hearing them, but breakthrough is still not coming. But you lay down and you're like, God, I just wanna give up, God. I just wanna throw it all in. I'm tired of always being the one that has to do everything. I'm tired of being the one that has to make every decision. I'm tired of being the head of my household. I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that. And then all of a sudden God speaks. The wholeness factor. And he says a word to you that your reconciled self understands. And even though you're in the same situation you were in 5 minutes ago, it seems brand new. Everything seems like it's fixed. It seems like it's okay. That word has, look, listen to this, elevated you because you ascended with that revelation. You ascended in that moment. And he did it in a moment. He did it in the twinkling of an eye. He did it, get this, when you stood broken before him, when you laid yourself out and you say, I cannot do this. I have no strength. I have no prophecy. All I have, God, is a hope in the wholeness factor. By your stripes, I am healed. That's all I have. And God says, now I can help you because you are not doing it in your own understanding anymore. You're not fighting your battle, trying to fast and get a breakthrough, thinking that's gonna be a magic trick for me to respond. You're coming into the place, Teresa, of recognizing that you were already healed. You've apprehended the wholeness factor. You've apprehended a truth that's beyond fact and reality. You've crossed into a place that your mind understands is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. See, the wholeness factor causes us to ascend to new revelation, to new understanding, because the cancer might not go away. Oh my God. You might not come through this the way you want to. There may be dead bodies all around you by the time it's all said and done. Oh my God. But the righteous cry for help, and the Lord heals and delivers them. The healing that God guaranteed us is in our soul and our reconciliation to Him. It does not mean that what you want to happen will happen. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Oh God. If I were to have listened to those leaders and those pastors 17 years ago, I would be angry with God because my son is not, quote, normal like everyone else. I would be like Job's wife, cuss God and die. But there's a wholeness factor, because Job saw his first 10 children in heaven. Oh my God, the end of Job's life, he saw his riches and wealth restored. He was able to separate fact from fiction. Oh God. Religion lied to a lot of us about our brokenness and our healing. It gave us a false narrative in some areas of our lives where we've been expecting things from God, and God is like, I never even promised it the way you have envisioned it. But the question is, can we lay down our idea of how we think it's going to happen? The hardest thing in the world is praying for somebody, but God told me that. And I'm like, well, if God told you that, why in the world did you call me to pray for you? You're my apostle. If I am, why don't you listen? Why don't you listen? We're not on the same spiritual level. You're not with me. If I'm your leader, some paths you have not crossed into yet. That's not arrogant. That's truth. Oh my goodness. How dare I think I'm on the same level as my apostle? I can do greater works, but I'm with her because she has access in the spirit that I don't have. How are you doing today? Blessed and highly favored, okay. And I understand people believe that. If you don't want anybody to know your business, it's better to just say, listen, I don't want to talk about that right now. You know, I have some issues. You acknowledging fact and reality is not in a curse, but it is if you're religious. It is if you're still influenced by law. Oh, but that's another story. I'm sorry. Don't be mad at that. Scripture teaches what I've told you. I know my Bible. I know my Bible. Tap into the fulfillment of the wholeness factor. That's what I did. And I still need every day to tap into Christ's truth. Because Christ's truth, the wholeness factor, brings that sure word, that revelation that allows you to climb higher, go further and deeper, even in the moments when you don't feel like you can inch another inch. Have you been so sick you couldn't pray? I have. even in the midst of that, there's the wholeness factor. Every believer that I know, every believer that I know that's been in that place can tell you about how the Lord met them in moments that nobody else could. Because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Listen, I'm having some challenges with the mouse on my computer. I want to go back real quick. I want to go back to the righteous cry out. Make sure you're righteous. This doesn't apply to those who aren't righteous. When the righteous cry out. Now, God helps the sinner. Don't get me wrong. But until they accept him, until they align their lives, there are some levels of healing that we cannot obtain to. We can be healed in other ways. But the greatest depth of healing, the wholeness factor, is through Christ. Does that make sense? Now, we can have partial healing. We can get some stuff we think is real healing. But real, that comes from a Christ relationship. So if you're walking in sin, living your own way, living like a fool, you know, we're going to talk about that. There are some things that cannot happen. Wow. Oh, man, I'm going to skip this on brokenness because I want to get to the last. Lie number one, and we can talk about and define brokenness. Are we?
Yes, it's recording.
We're recording.
Okay, I'm going to stop it and re-record again because I did a lot of talking just then. Okay. So...